evening and welcome to the 415th episode of Travel It's Radio. I'm your host, Dan Schlossberg, along with my friend and co-host, Mariella Nugent-Lee. This is the 10th season of Travel It's Radio, the show that lets you enjoy the pleasures of travel from the comfort of your armchair.
Every week at this time, we talk to people representing destinations, hotels, airlines, railroads, car rental companies, and others in the world of travel and hospitality, from authors and bloggers to broadcasters and publicists. If it's got anything to do with travel, it's got everything to do with Travel It's Radio.
And our honored guest tonight is the birthday girl, Sandy Lipkowitz of We Make Travel Easy. Happy birthday, Sandy, and welcome to Travel It's Radio, and thanks for doing this when you should be out celebrating. I did the same thing last month since my birthday, May 6th, also fell on a travel night, and the show must go on, so we're glad to have you here.
Well, Dan and Mary Ellen, thank you so much for the birthday wishes. That's so sweet, and for having me tonight to speak with your listeners.
Well, we love your idea. We Make Travel Easy. Where did that come from, Sandy?
Well, I always traveled. You know, as a kid, my family took road trip vacations. And when I got older, I began flying. And my first summer as a teacher, I spent 9 weeks traveling around Europe by myself. And I got the bug. I was going to be a travel photographer, and I had all these fantasies, and that didn't happen. But it's always been easy for me to travel because I've traveled so much. And all of a sudden, I realized that it's not that easy for other people. And I really wanted people to be able to have the benefits of travel. I mean, travel's educational. It opens your eyes. You meet people. You make friends around the world. And when you travel with loved ones and people who are close to you, you create wonderful, meaningful memories that you're going to talk about and laugh about at Thanksgiving dinner 20 years later. Remember when so-and-so did this, or remember when we fell in the fountain, ha, 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 ha. And everybody should have those wonderful memories.
Haven't you found travel difficult, especially with all the pandemic restrictions?
Well, it's been very complicated now as countries are starting to open. I mean, last year, 2020, I spent the whole year canceling people's things and saving their future travel credits. And now all of We Make Travel Easy's clients are ready to travel again. But I can't tell you, I mean, literally every day, and sometimes it's hour by hour, the restrictions and the borders are just changing. We have vaccinated tourists. Some countries are opening borders to vaccinated tourists, but yet they have restrictions. I just had this very morning, a client of mine was supposed to be flying to Israel yesterday, and when she's totally vaccinated. When she got to the airport, her COVID test was 2 hours short of the time that it was the 48 hours, and so they wouldn't let her on the plane. She had to go back and get retested, and so it's complicated. Some places are making you quarantine. Some are not making you quarantine. And it's changing from day to day. So it's a little complicated now.
Sandy, what does your company do?
We're a full-service boutique travel company. We create the most unique and extraordinary travel experiences for all our clients, whatever their wishes and their desires are. I mean, I had a client that were going to Tokyo, to Japan, and they wanted a custom-fitted kimono made for them. So we made it happen. So from whatever you want, whether it's a Michelin star restaurant or you want to go feed the chickens on a farm because you want to do some volunteer activity or whatever, you know, we have the contacts all around the world. We Make Travel Easy makes it easy for individuals, and we do that for individuals. We also do group travel for businesses, and we also use travel as a wonderful fundraiser for nonprofits.
Oh, that's fantastic. Now, we featured the Philadelphia Flower Show on these airwaves 2 weeks ago, but we're going to be talking flowers again tonight because of you. Don't you have a huge floral expo coming up?
Oh, this is so exciting. Floriade, which is a once-in-a-decade international floral expo outside of Amsterdam. And for some people, it's actually a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. It's the most amazing international floral expo. And it happens once every 10 years. Fortunately, 2022 was their 10 years. and because it had been 2020 or 2021, it would have been quite a mess. But We Make Travel Easy has planned the very unique itinerary that no one else in the industry has. It's been designed and geared to both the professional horticulturist and the amateur garden lover. Either way, it's going to be the most amazing and fabulous experience to Floriade.
Oh, please tell our listeners more about the Floriade.
I don't know. I'm not sure how the Dutch pronounce it. You say tomato, I say tomato. You say Floriade, I say Floriade. It's okay.
Well, tell us more about the Floriade 2022 and beyond tour that you created at We Make Travel Easy.
Well, first I'll just give you a little about Floriade. It's it's kind of, to try and imagine, like it's a World's Fair and the Venetian Biennale rolled into one. I mean, it's 150 acres, and they build all these pavilions, and this year the theme is growing green cities, and they're looking to the future about how sustainability and what you can do to make cities healthier, greener, better. In fact, they're building two bridges out of the wastewater from the river that they're on. I mean, it's just going to be the best of the best. And they have 40 international countries that are going to have pavilions, like the Japanese, and they're going to have their futuristic stuff, but they're also going to do Japanese flower arranging. The Indonesian pavilion, I'm sure, is going to have beautiful orchids. The Italians, they'll do something fabulous. Their design is wonderful. So it's just going to be all over. There's going to be a bee pavilion. I mean, there's going to be an arboretum. They're going to create a futuristic urban district called Hortus, and that's going to remain, you know, like in a lot of World's Fair, there's things that are left, like at Shea Stadium, you know, there's that thing. In San Francisco, we have the Palace of Fine Arts, which was from a World's Fair in the early 1900s. So there'll be some stuff left that the locals can enjoy afterwards. So what I've decided to do is I wanted to have people have a fabulous experience of Floriade. So we're going to have two nights staying in a five-star hotel in Amsterdam. We will have 2 days at Floriade. Every other itinerary I've seen has a day or a half a day. How can you see this wonderful thing, 40 pavilions, 150 acres in a half a day? Yeah. And then we're going to go to the International Flower Auction. I mean, it's think of like the stock exchange. So what they used to do before the technology of laptops and everything, they used to sit there with the paddles. Think about a Christie's or a, you know, an auction like that, and they'd auction off these fresh flowers, and it's like football fields full of all these flowers ready to be shipped off on airplanes all around the world. And now they have people sitting with their laptops. Some are calling in. They can be anywhere else in the world, and they bid on these flowers, and they go. I have a friend. Her father had a rose farm in Zimbabwe. He sold all his flowers through the International Flower Auction in Amsterdam. It's an amazing sight. So after we have these two fabulous days, then we're going to get on the ship on the waterways, on the Prima, and we were going to sail through the Netherlands and Belgium. And what we're doing, which nobody else has, of the 7 days we're sailing, we're going to be visiting four very important gardens. And one of them is Peter Odolf. Now, I don't know how good my Dutch is again, but he is the designer who designed the High Line in Manhattan.
Oh, yes.
And so he's a very famous. So we're going to go to his garden. We're going to go to, this rose garden where they have 3,000 varieties of roses, and then we're going to go to another arboretum that they focus on wood plants, which is basically trees, and they're researching trees all around the world and how to create them. I mean, we know with all the deforestation what it's doing to the planet, so here's a place that's really focusing on the health and the well-being of trees. And then we'll see the arboretum in Leiden, which is one of the oldest in, I think in Amsterdam, maybe one of the very oldest. It started out with herbal and medicinal things, but now they have everything. So it's going to be pretty spectacular. And for people who love gardens, it's wonderful. What if your partner is not into gardens? Well, we've got everything on the ship, you know, chocolate tape, because on a river cruise, all your excursions are included. So we're going to be going seeing windmills. We're going to be going chocolate tours. We're going to be doing beer tasting. We're going to get to an option to go to Bruges, which is in Belgium. It's kind of like Venice. It's all canals. It's very charming. It's just beautiful. No cars in the center of the city. You just kind of get around by boat. It's gorgeous. So there's so many things to do. And on the ship, there are always bicycles. So you can do a bicycle tour or grab a bicycle and go off on your own. Or maybe one morning you're just feeling tired and you don't want to go on your tour, so have a leisurely breakfast, sit on the top deck, read a book, stay in the pool, have a lovely relaxing day, or walk off the ship and do what you want. I mean, the rivers were the highways of Europe. So that's how goods and services were transported throughout Europe. So all these ships pull up right into the center of town, not like an ocean cruise. And you could decide to walk off the ship and do your own thing for the day. So that's one of the things that's lovely about river cruising. It gives you lots of opportunities. And, you know, people can do everything that's planned or nothing that's planned. But we have great gardens, and no one else has that.
Oh, how did you develop that fantastic itinerary, and what motivated you to do it?
Well, We Make Travel Easy is the travel partner for Filoli, which is a manor house and garden just south of San Francisco. It's part of the National Trust for Historic Preservation. So I have been spending a lot of time working with garden tours and understanding what garden people like. And when I heard about Floriade, I said, this is like the perfect thing. I mean, mm-hmm. It's, you know, nirvana for anyone who loves gardens. And who doesn't love gardens?
We're talking with Sandy Lipkowitz of We Make Travel Easy.
Sandy, what is the exact date of Floriade?
Floriade, Floriade starts in the middle of April, and it goes, I think, either into September. And I don't remember the last date. But this itinerary, we're going to be starting in Amsterdam on May 29th, 2022, and then the cruise will end on June 7th. So it's 9 nights, 10 days, and it's just going to be fabulous.
Okay. And what is your personal interest in flowers and horticulture?
Well, I grew up in small towns around Reading, Pennsylvania. And there was a magnolia tree outside my bedroom, and I loved it as a little girl because it was a little enough tree that I could climb. We had lilacs in the backyard over this kind of little archway near the garage. My mother had roses. She had tulips. On Mother's Day, my father would take me. We would buy some hyacinths. And then my mother would plant them in a row along the garage. And we there were forsythia bushes, there were pussy willows, everything. And then when I was 11, we moved to Brooklyn, and it was cement. And also as a child, my parents, we would go to Longwood Gardens and Hershey Gardens in Pennsylvania. And then there was nothing. Maybe somebody had a geranium in their window. So I appreciated public gardens because then I could be back in these beautiful gardens and stuff. So I think that's, you know, where my appreciation for public gardens and wanting people to see more of them around the world.
And why is Floriade held once every 10 years? Was it planned for 2020 but delayed by the pandemic or something
No,
else?
They, Mary Ellen, they lucked out. Their 10 years was 2022. I'm sure they had some delay in their planning in 2020 because everybody was, you know, shelter in place around the world. But, think about it. It's 150 acres. They build this, you know, World's Fair, so to speak, or Epcot Center or something, you know, to try and give the listeners an idea of the size and magnitude of all this. And it has a theme. And then that theme at the end goes away. And so if you think about it, it's, you know, they have to take down all the structures. They may leave one or two, you know, as a gift to the city, but everything gets to be taken down. And then they have to think about what's the vision for the next 10 years and put it all together. And then once they think that, they have to rebuild it. again. So it's not, you know, Keukenhof, which many people are familiar with and out in Amsterdam, is the tulip thing. And it goes about 9 weeks from the end of March to the beginning of May. And every year you can come and see the gorgeous tulips. It was started as a marketing piece for the bulb growers in the Netherlands. And so they put together these amazing tulip gardens. But it happens every year. And all they have to do is take the bulbs out. I'm saying it like it's so easy. But they have to take the bulbs out and put them back in and, you know, put a few more flowers in and open the gates. And everybody comes from literally around the world to see it. And, you know, at the end they close the gates and then they do it every year. And so it's year after year after year, but it's pretty much the same. Floriade has to come up with a whole new vision. Like right this year, it's going to be green cities in the future and sustainability. I mean, I think about the World's Fair I went to in the 1960s when they talked about future cars, driverless cars, and they didn't know the technology. I mean, you drove the, what they had in the thing was you drove the car on and it hooked onto a train or something like that. Well, it's not the technology that they thought, but we have driverless cars. In San Francisco, they're around the streets all the time because we have all Google and all the companies that are testing it. I mean, you can't drive down a street without seeing one of these cars, with all the stuff hanging out of them, teaching the car how to drive. So here we are with driverless cars. So it's the same thing with Floriade. What people see at 2022 for the future of cities, they may experience in another 10 or 15 years.
That's fantastic. And Sandy, tell our listeners about the Ama Prima cruise ship, since that's an unfamiliar name to us. Where is it? What is it? Why is it different from its competitors?
Okay. Ama Prima is one of the many beautiful river ships that Ama Waterways owns and operates in Europe. And Ama Waterways sails in Europe, Asia, and Africa. Ama is a luxury river cruise company. I think where they stand out above the others is that the care and the service that they provide to their guest. It's still family owned. It's, you know, a husband and a wife and another friend, partner. There's no debt on any of their ships, so no one has to worry that they're not going to be around in 2022 because of this. They did not lay off one staff person during the pandemic. So it's a really solid, amazing company. You know, all the other companies laid people off, furloughed them, did whatever. Ama did not. That's how solid they are. So when you're on an Ama Waterways ship, you really feel like everyone on board, the staff is there to take care of whatever you need. And you may, and you'll have just a, not only will you have excellent service, but it's warm and friendly. I had a group, actually, we were going to Keukenhof, and one of my guests just didn't feel good. I don't know if she had a sore throat or she was having a reaction to jet lag or whatever. And she didn't want to go off that morning when everybody else was going. They were bringing her stuff to her room. Did she need anything more? It was like your mom was there taking care of you when you're not feeling good. So that's one of the things I really love about Ama, is that just you feel the warmth and the friendship, and the people really do care. And they care because their company takes care of them, and they take care of the guests.
Mm.
Sandy,
we're talking
what's the
with
home
Sandy
port, and where does the Ama Prima sail?
Okay, Ama Prima's home port is in Basel. It's registered in Switzerland, and it sails in the European waters. It just depends on where they're going. It might sail on the Rhine. It might sail on the Rhone. This is going to be in the canals and the rivers going from Amsterdam to into Belgium and back. But it could be on the Danube in the latter part of the season. So it's, you know, those are the main rivers that you would find the Ama Prima on.
And what safety protocols does it have in place, post-COVID restrictions?
Well, one of the things that I have to tell you that I think, well, first of all, they're going to start sailing. All the Ama ships are going to begin sailing in July. They're going to follow all the rules set by the EU because they're sailing in the EU. And whatever country may have stronger rules and regulations, they're going to do that. They're expecting all their staff to be vaccinated as soon as possible, you know, because obviously we live in countries that the vaccine availability is a little lagging behind ours. But everybody will be masked. The guests will be required to be masked in the public areas. But again, by the time we're there in 2022, this may all be different. But one of the things that I can tell you, which was, I think, where another reason Amma's head and shoulders is in the summer of 2020, they chartered their ships to a German tour operator. So it was the AMA staff, AMA crew, but it was a German tour operator that chartered the ships, and there were German guests that sailed that summer. They had over 1,400 passengers in the summer, and there was not one case of COVID. There's no more buffet dining. Everything is order off the menus. You know, the excursions are going to be in small groups, limited capacity. Right now, the ships are going to start going out at 75% capacity until, you know, it gets to be okay to go up to 100%. Room service is available in case someone doesn't feel comfortable going to the dining room. They can dine in their room. When people are off the ship or when people are dining, they're going around and sanitizing every single part of the ship. In the lounge area, which is, you know, the gathering place for everyone in the evenings or whatever, or if they're sailing and you want to sit inside, have a 270-degree view of where you're going, they have even put plexiglass between little areas so that people can, you know, if you're with a couple of friends or something, you can sit in a little area and you've got plexiglass between you and the next little seating area. So they have done everything to make people be safe and stuff. And it's not, they sanitize the luggage before they take it on the ship. And it's not something that they're planning and hoping will work. I mean, they've done it. They've had 1,400 passengers and not one case of COVID.
How can our listeners get more information about the AMA Prima and inquire about bookings?
If you go to the We Make Travel Easy website, there is a Floriade Expo tab, and you can click on that, and there's all the information about that. Anyone feel free to email me. My email address is very easy, info@wemaketraveleasy.com. I love to respond to everyone's emails. If you want to pick up the phone and talk to me, I'm happy to talk to you. Just remember, I'm in Pacific time, so don't call me too early in the morning. It's 415-931-1945.
Okay, and you are listening to Travel with Radio with Dan Schlossberg and Mariella Nugent-Lee. We're on iTunes, blogtalkradio.com, and Facebook. Check out the archive show at your convenience. And we're talking with Sandy Lipkowitz of We Make Travel Easy.
Sandy, who are some of your other clients, and what do you have planned for the rest of the year?
Oh, my goodness, Mary Ellen. I have so much planned because so much has been moved from 2020. So the first thing that's happening is I mentioned that I do the travel program for Filoli. So we have a wonderful trip to the Hudson Valley. We're going to see the mansions and the gardens in the Hudson Valley, and that's in the beginning of October. So we're going to see all the beautiful fall foliage, and even we'll have a little tour in a river one day. And then there's a post two nights in New York, and we'll do the Tenet Museum and Cass's Deli and have a private tour of the High Line and maybe see a Broadway show. So that's the first one out of the box in October. And then coming up right after that, I am having a small group doing a Bordeaux River cruise in November. So we'll start optional two nights in the north, in Bilbao in the north of Spain, two nights in Sebastian, pick up the ship in Bordeaux, round trip Bordeaux, and then two nights in a Loire Valley at the end. And that's early November 2021. So there's still space if anyone's interested. And then in February, I have a Nile River cruise planned, so I'm very excited. That's been a bucket list of mine. And then, of course, May, June is Floriade, which I'd love all the listeners come join me. How fun is that going to be? And then I had a a group going to Portugal that was supposed to be 2020. We called it a milestone celebration because it was a milestone birthday for me, and I invited people with other milestone event anniversaries, birthdays, whatever. And then, of course, we all know what happened. So then we moved it to 2021, and then we had to move it to 2022. So there we are. And I have a client who is a wine travel writer, and she's going to be taking a group to Portugal in June and going to wineries and fine dining and doing all that. So, in fact, we'll be in Portugal at this overlapping time. And then in August, I have a group going to Kenya for the migration. We were supposed to go in October 2020, but we all know what happened, and we could not get availability for 2021 because we wanted to be there for the migration. Mm-hmm. I want to go to Giraffe Manor. That is a bucket list thing for me. I want to kiss my giraffe. I don't know if people are not familiar with Giraffe Manor, but it's actually the hotel that a wealthy English would come, kind of the Out of Africa story. And now it's a preserve for the Rothschild giraffe. And the giraffes, it's like a 2 or 3-story hotel, and the giraffes stick their head in the window. And you can have tea with them, or you can have breakfast with them. And you can kiss a giraffe. A giraffe eats an herb that sterilizes its mouth. A giraffe's mouth is cleaner than your mouth or your cat or your dog's mouth. So I'm going to kiss my giraffe and have tea with them. And then we're going to go to the David Zeldrig's Elephant Preserve, which I'm sure a lot of your listeners are familiar with. And then there's also a preserve that is raising black and white rhino because they're almost wiped out to be able to be released back into the wild. And then we're going to 4 beautiful safari camps, and the camps are so small, the group is only 11, that we're taking over the whole camp. So it's going to be very exciting. And now I have a very new client, Triple Shuffle. Some of your listeners may have seen them on Shark Tank, and they're just amazing. 3 young chefs from the French Laundry, which was one of the most famous best restaurants worldwide. And we are creating some fabulous culinary tours that are going to start in 2022, and we've already got plans for 2023 and 2024. And Filoli,
okay, tell us your website again, Sandy, because we're really running out of time.
Oh, okay, sorry. It's wemaketraveleasy.com. And again, my email is info@wemaketraveleasy.
Okay, Mary Ellen?
So where is your office located?
I'm located in San Francisco, but my clients are all over the U.S., and I even have some international clients because everybody does everything over phone and email these days.
Dan?
How did you get started? This is the last question, then we'll just close it up. How did you get started?
Okay. I was in the shopping center business, and after an unpleasant divorce, I didn't want to go back into doing that. I saw the handwriting on the wall about online retailing, and I wanted to do something that was more meaningful than leasing stores to people to buy things they didn't want. Travel has always been my passion, and people tell you, you know, if you work in your passion, it doesn't feel like you're working a day in your life. And an opportunity came up, and I said, I'm going to do this, and it's just been a joy for me and a joy for my clients.
Mm-hmm.
And thank you to Sandy Lipkowitz of We Make Travel Easy for being our guest tonight on Travel Itch Radio.
And thank you so much for having me. It's been a delight to talk to you and tell you all about the exciting things that we have happening at We Make Travel Easy. And hopefully some of your listeners will want to find out more about us.
Okay, and that's it for this edition of Travel Itch Radio. Next week, same time, same station, same writers, same announcers. We'll talk with my friends Larry Cancro and Beth Crudies about the upcoming big-name concerts at Fenway Park, home of the Boston Red Sox. Now, this is Dan Schlossberg, along with my beautiful and talented co-host, Mary Ellen Nugent-Lee, saying thank you for your time this time. Until next time, good night and stay safe.